living down in Orange County, Florida, we always used to sneak out the little old joint in the woods. It was kind of forbidden, but the music was so good out there, we'd go out and listen. They featured some of those early roadshow review bands that have gone on to become the superstars of the 1970s. The Ike and Tina Turner Review and the B.B. King Show. And the hardest working man in American show business, James Brown. These folks play a kind of music they refer to as boogie music. You're looking at somebody who was no stranger to the old boogie. In fact, I played a pretty mean boogie on my axe. Now, I'll admit, that wasn't the way James Brown played the boogie. He'd come out there, those dancing girls dancing, those drums pounding, those saxophones wailing. He'd throw that microphone stand down the floor. He'd throw his leg over top. He'd say, please, please, please. The crowd go crazy. One time he's grumbling around and said, please, please. A young woman jump up and say, stop it, Jimmy, I can't stand it. He redoubled his effort. She took off running wild-eyed through the room and slapped into the wall, knocked herself out. Now that's boogieing. Handsomely, I seized upon the inherent potential of this particular art form, and I boogied diligently. But I never could achieve the same result with my boogie that James Brown did with his. About the best I ever did was to get two college boys to throw up in the guitar case at a party. Then one time, I'm knocking around in front of John Gentile's pawn shop down on Church Street. This scabrous derelict comes creeping out of the alley, dragging a crap Gibson guitar. He was the sorriest looking human baggage I've ever encountered. I said, who in the world are you? He said, baby, I'm the boogeyman. I said, well, ciao, baby. He said, huh? And then he choked down on those old rusty black diamond drugstore strings. And a sound something like this came out of his little guitar. I said, what do you call that now, friend? He said, baby, I call that trotting the string. And all of a sudden, I realized what the difference was between his music and my music. Friends, there was nothing in the world but just trotting and strumming. Stop drinking that wine. rest of the world. 3, musical gifts. The sousaphone, the banjo, and Anita Bryant, and the blues. Thank you. Williams, and the last song was recorded in 1931 by Miss Bessie Smith, the Queen of the Blues. And if you listen to those words, I guess you can see that the vices and the preoccupations of the populace haven't changed too much in the last 46 years. Is there a man amongst you? Is there a woman amongst you who can tell me the true meaning of nostalgia? What is it? Rumble seats and running bowls? Singing along with me. Following a bouncing ball at the movie. Nostalgia. I think it has something to do with the movie. Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca. Marlena Dietrich in The Blue Angel. Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre. Tom Mix and Tarzan. Sitting in the movie house in the sweltering heat trying to get all the wax paper off every side of a wall metal. Oh, we'd sit in there, scarf up on those Juju Bees, Junior Mints, Milk Dogs, Necco Wafer, Jordan Allman, Sugar Daddy. Remember those old Sugar Daddy? Sticky thing. Get mad at your best buddy, Bogart your sugar daddy, and stick in his ear. And there was always some little idiot in the audience. He would sidle out in the lobby in the middle of the picture with a box of butter popcorn hidden under his jacket. He'd ease up to the water fountain, step on the switch, directing a clandestine crescent of clear water into the popcorn box, turning its contents into a soggy, glutinous, viscous, vegetable mass of oily corruption and putrescence. He would then ease up into the balcony, and at precisely the heaviest part of the flicker, the patrons there below would be startled to hear from out of the Stygian blackness above the non-sonorous sounds of gastronomical distress as our young pilgrim leans far out over the parapet, broadcasting the popcorn in a slimy torrent over their heads and shoulders, all the while going, it's kind of like quail bounder. What is nostalgia? I think maybe, friend, it has something to do with music. Well, I'll never forget the first time I went to hear the Grand Ole Opry. It was Ernest Tubb and Earl Scruggs and Mother Maybelle and Carter Girl and John Arquette. But the little lady who stole our hearts away that time was named Martha Carson. She came out wearing a miraculous white dress, carrying a tiny tambourine with which she testified to the likes of Moses and Jesus. And in those days, there were just two kinds of music that swung for the white world. Dixieland and white gospel music. Now, why did this white gospel music swing the way it did? Well, sir, over to her left, Miss Carson had a big burly dude slapping an upright bass into a hot microphone. And double time, it sounded like a whole rhythm section all by itself. Over on the other side, she had three young men in business suits singing into one microphone, sort of like a Jordan Lee. That bass player would kick it off. Then they'd come in. Right behind her, 14-year-old boy's glasses, quarter of an inch thick, playing a big old guitar through a tiny little silver-toned amplifier, sounded a little bit like Mr. Chet Atkins, like this. Stood on the rock where Moses stood. Well, if I could, sure it would stand on the rock where Moses stood. 6 months later, we all went down to the same auditorium to hear another Grand Ole Opry show. They brought out a young man from Memphis, Tennessee. They said, "Be kind, this boy, we believe he's going to be a star." About that time, a strange-looking critter skittered out from the edge of the stage, wearing a burgundy-colored tuxedo coat, shark-skin pants, lemon-colored tasseled shirt, black and white saddle Oxford with his hair done up in a strange coiffure called a duck tail.
Thank you.
nostalgia I'll never forget. Sitting in the sixth grade in Miss Beck's classroom, everybody said, "Hey, when you get to high school next year, don't get Miss Eulalia Singletary for a teacher. She's a witch." My first day of high school, in walked my new homeroom teacher, Eulalia Singletary, 6.5 feet tall. She loomed above us like a myopic praying mantis. Blue rinse in her white hair, chalk white skin, bloodless lips, little eyeballs like pin lights shining through an Arkansas road map. She wore those Dr. Scholl's lace-up pedicure pumps and silk print dresses from which trailed streamers of lilac water and top on top. And though she was a butt of many a coarse and callow juvenile joke, what dreams of love and altruism pulsed in that withered breath. Miss Eulalia Singletary. Soon, Bender Pendergrass and the Dead End Boys made their move. They smuggled a 38-inch scarlet kingsnake into Miss Eulalia's desk drawer. There are those amongst you today, knowledgeable in the field of herpetology, who will verify the fact that a scarlet kingsnake is virtually identical to a coral snake, the only fatally poisonous reptile on the North American continent, save for its color markings. Both snakes are banded in the colors red, black, and yellow, but the sequence of these colors varies according to the species. If you're knowledgeable in this, you'll recognize a scarlet king snake as a friend of man. On the other hand, you go messing with a coral snake, one more white shirt will do you. Miss Eulalia Singletary came levitating into the class and led the class in the Pledge of Allegiance to flag and the Lord's Prayer and various other theological and nationalistic errata which have been dismissed by the 9 old men. On this day, she generally wrote the announcements of the day on the blackboard with chalk from the rim of the blackboard, but today there was no chalk on the rim of the blackboard to make my boys, Bender Pendergrass and the Dead End Kids, having removed the chalk from the rail, which would force the teacher into the drawer wherein awaited the sermon. She began. She said, "Boys and girls, your principal asks that I remind you once again that band practice will occur on the playing field today as it's such a sunny day. He also asked that I remind you, once again, you rapscallion, have purloined my chalk." She slid open the drawer, reached downward, froze, polished off her spectacles, and continued, "He asked that I remind you once again that those of us who reside in the tropic zone should at all times be aware of the difference between the dread coral snake and his harmless and colorful cousin, the scarlet king snake." She wrested the wriggling serpent from out of the drawer, held it aloft, looked right at Bender Pendergrass and said, "Red on black, friend of Jack. Red on yellow, kill a fellow. Black on head, you're dead." Dropped the snake in the wastebasket, shut the drawer, and dismissed the clay. All the Dead End Boys are out there doing shalom. And from that time onward, whenever anyone had the temerity to put down Miss Eulalia Singletary or the ill grace to refer to her as a witch, Bender Pendergrass and the Dead End Kid would stomp sand out of them. Favorite high school teacher whose name has been changed bet. And although Miss Eulalia Singletary was well past retirement age when I left, I'm quite sure that she is still down there in Orange County kicking impertinent young tailors.
Florida's
black hat troubadour, Mr. Will McLean. How about a nice man for Will McLean? There he is. I want to sing one of the songs, then maybe we'll sing one together at the end. I think I'd love to end like that, so I know you'd enjoy it. First time I met Will was in 1960. It was a good year for him. Will is one of Florida's premier brim fishermen. He invited me on a fishing junket in search of the elusive Florida shell cracker, a species of panfish not unlike the northern crappie. We got in his ancient Chevrolet automobile. We headed out toward Lake Talcum. But first we had to stop and purchase what Will referred to as some possibles. We got some snell eagle claw fish hooks, some split shot sinkers, some barrel swivels, some red wigglers, $2 worth of gasoline, some 22 shorts, and some shear fins, some vice grip tires, a socket set, radiator bar leak, some Triscuits, cream cheese, some anchovies, a Camel cigarette. Got back in the car and headed down the road. We topped the penultimate rise leading down to the lake itself, and there we saw, laboring in the Florida sunlight, a phenomenon rapidly disappearing from the face of this earth, a work gang. Call them a chain gang if you want to. There they were, garbed in their resplendent black and gray coordinated work outfit, each with one of the rustic tools of their trade, scythes, bush hooks, hickeys, double-bitted axes, raising their voices in spontaneous jubilation and joy, happy to be working out in the life-giving Florida sunshine. As we drew abreast of this rustic group, Will wound down his window, got his Camel cigarettes, and threw them out the window at the chain gang. I said, "Will, you must quit smoking." Will was always quitting smoking in those days. Yeah, we'd be paddling down the Wicaiwa River. Well, actually, I paddled. He'd sit up front so he could open those coats. All of a sudden, I'd see his latissimus dorsi tauting beneath his work shirt. And Will McLean, a taut latissimus, his tantamount to grave moral flux and decision-making. His arm would flame purposefully outward, plunge heron-like into his pocket. He'd produce a pack of Camel cigarettes, hold them disdainfully at arm's length, swizzle them in the waters of the river, raise them up and squeeze them until a turgid tar-like excrescence extruded from the cellophane of the package, slog them in the bottom of the canoe and say, "Jim, I just quit smoking again." I'd say, "Right on, dude." 5 minutes later, I'm paddling his backsliding tail off the river again to get more Camel. Been doing it for 17 years now. Well, this is a song that Will McLean wrote about the first man sentenced to die in Florida's electric chair. Now, that sounds like a pretty grim subject for a song, but this one had a happy ending. Abraham Washington was his name. He was sentenced to hang, but the hanging law was repealed, so he was conveyed to Rayford Penitentiary, strapped in the electric chair. The warden and the guard in attendance in that place then fell into a spirited discussion over who should have the novel thrill of pulling the switch and sending the prisoner to his ultimate reward. They argued thus for 45 minutes by the clock while Abraham Washington sweated blood in the electric chair. Is this cruel? Is this cruel? At the end of the argument, an early ACLU type came thundering into those chambers wearing a pair of John Denver waffle stumpers, carrying 5 Herman Hesse novels in one hand and a bowl of granola in the other. Pointed out to these clods it's illegal to keep a man waiting for his electrocution beyond a certain amount of time. These characters had gone way beyond the time allowed, so they had no recourse under the law but to turn Abraham Washington loose. That's how the first electrocution in the state of Florida ended. Well, I see we have a few liberals out here today. I regretfully have to address some remarks to the liberal contingent, which is simply that within 10 days of his release, Abraham Washington killed 14 more men. No, that's not true. I'm just kidding. I don't think Will was like that. Will, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, a marvelous song by Florida's poet laureate and Black Hat troubadour, Mr. Will McLean, The Ballad of Abraham Washington. This is a little song that came from a homegrown poem that was found scrawled on a piece of paper in a Union soldier's pocket dead on the battlefield. It was set to music later on and has become, ironically enough, a favorite Southern folk song, often heard at country music events and bluegrass festivals. It's called Two Little Boys. His head. cry for joy when he heard his brother say, "Do you think I could leave you crying when there's room on my horse for you? So climb up here, Jack, stop your crying, we'll mend your horse with blue. When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers. Our horses will not be toys. Then perhaps we'll remember when we were just two little boys."
Pansy O'Hara.
did such a good job out here early on. How about Jim?